Blog Talk Radio. Wherever you are in Psychic Talk Radio land, you're listening to the Goddess Guidance Show on Psychic Talk Radio Network. And I am your host, Nati Alayo. My other host, or the other host of the Goddess Guidance Show, is my friend and cohort, Shakti Devi. Shakti, can you say hello to the people?
Hello, everybody in Psychic Talk land. How are you?
Yes. Today, this afternoon, this morning, we're going to be talking about Shakti. We're going to be talking about the Hindu goddess Shakti. She's one of the most important goddesses in the Hindu pantheon. She is a divine cosmic energy that represents feminine energy and all of the dynamic forces that move through the universe. Shakti is also responsible for creation, and she can be an agent of change. She is often manifested to destroy demonic forces and to restore balance. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to turn the show over to Goddess Shakti Devi, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about the great goddess of the Hindu pantheon, Goddess Shakti.
All right. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful introduction. I'm going to have you introduce me. That's all my friends. This is Shakti Devi. No, I'm just kidding. So today, you guys, we are having such a good time today. Naki and I have been, before we started the show, we were just having wonderful conversations about the goddess, and we're just filled with such light and energy and love and compassion. We really just want to share that with you today. And through the topic of Goddess Shakti in the Hindu pantheon or Indian pantheon. So some of you may know about, have heard the name Shakti. So what is Shakti? Shakti is actually a Sanskrit word. Sanskrit is like a liturgical language. It is often learned through religious texts and whatnot in India. And the term Shakti actually means power, divine energy. And that's the actual meaning of the term. But Shakti is understood as being the female principle of divine energy, especially when personified as the supreme deity. So a goddess is Shakti. Some of you who are familiar with any of the Hindu, with its artwork, drawings, the depictions of gods and goddesses, like a consort, a husband and wife team. If you've heard of Shiva, one of the supreme beings, and Parvati, his wife, or if it's Vishnu, the great sustainer, and Lakshmi, who is his wife, who is the goddess of wealth and abundance and prosperity. A lot of times what the picture is implying is that without the goddess, the god cannot perform his task. He doesn't have the energy. So every god has to have his Shakti, right? He has to have that power or divine energy. Otherwise, he is inert. He is not able to really project energy or manifest into the world. That's who Shakti is, okay? Shakti is also understood to be the Kundalini, Those of you who are familiar with yogic practices, yogic more of the physical kind, it's understood that at the root, in the root chakra, at the base of our spine, there is a coil of energy, or a snake, they often refer to it. Not snake in a bad way, but a coil of energy that exists at the base of our spine. And through certain practices, whether it's physical, chanting mantras, or breath work, we can raise that energy up. We actually talked about this in the last show. Naki spoke to us about, you know, sacred breathing techniques and how you can raise your kundalini energy, also through sacred dance and movement as well. So Shakti is that power. And when you awaken that power within you, oh my goodness, I mean, it's just like it's almost like being, you know, was it a Wonder Woman or having these superpowers? It really is. I've had that experience once, you know. Well, you know, think about it, Naki. The superheroes that we have is all about, even, you know, Marvel Comics, DC Comics, and things of that nature. These are all powers that we have within ourselves. You know, it's a little bit exaggerated, of course, in films and comic books, but it's really speaking to our superheroine power. So Wonder Woman, one of the reasons why that movie was so popular, I mean, I can't even tell you, she's wonderful. She really is a depiction of a wonderful goddess because she loves people. She wants to help people. She's always poised to do that. Yet she is total badass. You know, she can, not only can she whip man, you know, with the lasso and every, make him tell the truth and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she can, what is it, deflect bullets with her bracelets. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Her goddess.
Not only can she do that, but she can take on giants, much like 100,000 times stronger than a human being, you know, and barely be scarred. You know,
that's right.
She's amazing. Well, that's all goddess depiction. This is all with the call of the goddess within us to project this out, to put this on paper, to put it on film, to draw it, to live it. This is why people love Wonder Woman, you know, or the Supergirl in some cases, or I think there's a Batgirl too, or something like that. There are a lot of different female. Oh, Storm! Oh my goodness, Storm! I love Storm.
Yeah,
right.
Gina, the warrior princess. Yeah,
that's right. So we have all these goddess images that are out there, mostly in the Western world, and we kind of lost connection with the ancient goddess practices, you know, because of the Christianity has kind of wiped that out a little bit, not completely. In Catholicism, they have the Virgin Mary and whatnot, but that patriarchy has really kind of pushed a lot of the power of the goddess aside, and we're forced to look at, you know, males or men as being gods and women as just being, you know, their servants, basically. Anyway, but that could be a whole nother show, so we're not going to go into that.
Oh, yeah.
But so what I'd like to do is just to provide a little bit of, you know, like I said, you know, out of India, who Shakti is. And I'm bringing some of this information from an author named Vanamali Mataji. And she is a, you know, spiritual writer, contemporary writer of different Hindu deities and goddesses and things of that nature. She really has a lot of very, very great books, actually, on Hindu deities. And one book that I'm pulling this information out of is called Shakti, Realm of the Divine Mother. So Shakti comes everything. She is the Divine Mother. She is the creator. In fact, there is in Hinduism, there's a sect called Shaktiism. That's more of the English version, or Shakta sect is what it's called. And they believe that Shakti is the creator, period. She creates everything. She's even the supreme of the supremes. It almost sounds like a music group or something. But what I mean by that is, in other Hindu, religious sects, they talk about three main supreme deities. Shiva, often called the destroyer, but he does other things as well. Shiva, He's the one who's, you know, sitting the, with his legs crossed a lot. Maybe he's in meditation. He has a cobra around his neck kind of thing. There's Vishnu, who's laying on this nice couch, kind of chilling, sometimes napping. Vishnu, he is the sustainer of the universe. And then there's Brahma, who is the creator. He's actually the one who creates, right? And so you have this trinity that goes on, and they are seen as the supreme, you know, as the supreme deities. But Shakti and Shaktiism is actually above all of them. She created them. And it's really interesting. The interesting thing about this, so basically what Vadamali talks about is that she says from Shakti comes this entire manifestation of myriad of forms, from the stars to the earthworms, from the oceans to the dewdrops. Shakti is cosmic energy, the physical ultimate of all forms of matter. Matter is nothing but energy in motion, as modern physics has come to acknowledge. Spirit and energy are inseparable. They are essentially one, like fire and heat, okay? So Shakti is really everything that exists in our world. She's everything. She is the flies. She's the insects. She are the spiders or whatnot. I didn't know all that. But she's the plants, the animals, the rocks. She's in human beings. I love it, Naki, in the last show when you talk about we are drops that are in the greater ocean, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shakti is the ocean.
Yes.
And all of the drops are human beings. They're trees, they're plants, they're all the different manifestations. So Shakti is not just a goddess in the sense of a human form. She is everything in nature, whether earth, water, air, all of that is Shakti. So in some forms in India, you will see her as Lakshmi. And the reason why I like to talk about different forms of the goddess, because in my understanding of who Shakti is, and it's very limited because it's hard for me as a human being to understand the cosmos, to understand planets and galaxies and you know, galaxies upon galaxies and universes within universes, and, you know, let alone all the diversity that's here on this on planet Earth, right? But a lot of the wonderful thing about Shakti in specific forms, when she goes by a particular name, the name is really more of an indication of how she functions or what that aspect is of Shakti. Remember, Shakti is the all. And that's always that's not a very easy concept for most people, right? It's hard to think of everything as the all, because then you have to start thinking differently, such as, we are all brothers and sisters, are we not? We are all made of the same cloth. Why
That's
are we
right.
fighting with each other? You know, we are all Shakti, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it gets kind of deep, you know, when you think about it. At the same time, so when she manifests herself as a particular goddess, and she has a name that's different from Shakti, obviously, they're talking about a particular aspect, a particular power or principle that she holds. So truth be known, the goddess or any form that she's in is much more than what we attribute it to. So like, for example, Lakshmi. Mm-hmm. Lakshmi is the Hindu goddess of wealth, abundance, and prosperity. Sometimes beauty, auspicious arms, two of the hands are holding pink lotus flowers. One hand might be pointed down or pointed up, and there are gold coins that are coming out of the hand and going into a gold pot, right? A pot full of gold coins, that is. She may be sitting on a pink flower. Pink is her color. So when you see Shakti as Lakshmi, basically what you're saying is that this is the great goddess as the goddess of abundance, of prosperity, and wealth, okay? If you see her as Sarasvati, Sarasvati is another Hindu goddess who is the giver of all wealth and of all wisdom and art. Some of you may know her as Sophia, and which is a Greek name. Sophia is the goddess of wisdom, or it means wisdom, right? So Sarasvati, she is usually dressed in a white sari clothing. She's sitting on a white lotus flower. She may have certain kinds of animals around her, like a swan or a peacock or something like that. The picture is different. She's holding a veena, which is like a guitar-shaped instrument, on her lap. That is Sarasvati. So that is Shakti expressing herself as Sarasvati, who is the goddess of wisdom and art. Okay? There is a goddess. Oh, this is a goddess that, you know, a lot of people, I would say, have mixed feelings about. Kali. Kali is shown usually standing. She is blue in color. She's very fierce looking. Her tongue is out. Her mouth is open and her tongue is hanging out. And it could be like down to about, I don't know, midway of her chest or stomach or something like that. Long tongue. She has a skull, a severed skull, or severed head rather, in one hand. She has a garland of skulls around her neck, pretty fierce looking, and her hair is just out, right? It's there. That's Kali. In that form, she is seen as a great, as a destroyer, you know. Generally speaking, if you call on Kali, you're really calling on something to be, you know, eradicated, basically. So that's Shakti as Kali. So Shakti can manifest manifest herself as any goddess. And it's not just particular to Hindu goddesses. This is all around the world, you know. She manifests herself as goddesses in different cultures. We tend to think, you know, human beings are we're very separatist in our thinking and our ways. This is what we do. This is what they do. This is who we are. This is who they are. And we're very much, you know, us and them kind of thinkers.
Can I say something to that, Shakti?
Sure. Go ahead, please.
I think I want to say to that the reason why that energy is so prevalent is because it is the very system with which most of our world systems were built. Think about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. It's this notion, because there was no such thing in the ancient ways of the competitive consumer. Think about that for 1 minute.
Right, that's true.
They adopted a more socialist way, a more communal way of living, a more tribal way of living. There was a barter system for many, many, many years in many, many, many countries and traditions. You know, so with this idea of competitive capitalism and consumerism, we stopped caring about. We forgot to care. Now, don't get me wrong. There's always been war. There's always been, I'm better than you, you're below me. There's always been that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Always. But there was a time when we took better care of people. There was a time when the value of life, especially amongst our own, you know, amongst your tribe, amongst your, you know, your ethnic background or your... There was at least a certain amount of energy amongst them, yourself in that group.
Right.
But now we're fighting amongst ourselves, let alone people that might not look like us or might not come from where we come from. You know,
right.
So this notion of the us's and them's is perpetuated in just about everything we see.
Right.
So it's very difficult to come from the trenches of that thought process when everything you do is rooted in it.
That is so, you are spot on that.
Yeah.
And
I just wanted to.
No, thank you. That's you dropping some serious knowledge, because you are so right about that. And that, like you said, we're in the trenches. So this is the way that we act. This is the way that we go about in the world. And what's difficult for us to conceptualize is that the goddess does not work that way. Even in Christianity, there's a saying that God does not think the way that we think. God does not operate the way that we think he operates or expects him to operate. The goddess is the same way. She's beyond the different divisions that we've created as a part of our development as human beings, you know, for good or bad, right?
She
transforms all over this planet in all different kinds of cultures, you know? And we were just talking about this, right? I'm going to go into this because I was thinking about going into a different topic, but I was like, no, we're going to talk about this. We were just talking about the genius of the goddess, right? This is what's so profound. So in the Western world, I'm in the United States. Naki and I are both in the United States. And we have a celebration every year called Easter, right? What is Easter about? Okay, well, if you're in Christianity, it's about the resurrection of Christ, you know, Christ rising from the cross, from the dead, et cetera, et cetera. But we also celebrate Easter with eggs, colored eggs, right? We color eggs and we place them around a yard and have the little children go out and find them and try to find them and then you eat them or something, right? We celebrate with chocolate bunnies and we chew on them. It's a great time for sugar and chocolate, right? And eggs and protein. So, but what's so interesting about that is that most people are unaware that celebration with bunnies and eggs is really an ancient goddess symbology and celebration. Ishtar is her name, and she comes from what, Samaria? Is that right, Naki? Samaria, Assyria.
Yes.
She comes from those ancient cultures. Now, remember, Samaria, this is long time ago, thousands.
Way
thousands
before
of
the Internet.
Right. And her symbols were rabbits or bunnies and eggs. And to this day, we are still, so even though we don't even know, because, you know, like I said, where does it say in the Bible that you should be celebrating the resurrection of Christ with chocolate bunnies and painted eggs? I mean, you don't see that. Okay,
it does not.
But Christ hanging on the cross, you saw bunny rabbits and colored eggs or something. That's not even Christian. It's not a part of Christianity whatsoever. It is an ancient pagan practice. And when I mean pagan, I'm saying non-Christian. That's
say
right.
Say it again.
Ancient, it is an ancient
pagan
practice that we have continued to this day, and we have continued it unknowingly. Unknowingly. This reminds me, Naki, so anyway, the brilliance of the goddess, right? So this reminds me of another story, another goddess. Have you ever heard of St. Bridget? She is viewed as
the Celtic goddess of the Imbolc.
Girl, go speak your word. Speak the word. So in Catholicism, she is seen as a saint. But Bridget is actually an ancient Celtic goddess. She was so popular, and people loved her so much, the Christian church could not get them to stop worshiping her. So what did they do? They made her into a saint. She was not a living human being who achieved, you know, who sacrificed themselves in some way, or they went through some awful, I don't know, painful, excruciating, something or other situation, but they still love God. No, Bridget is an ancient goddess, and to this day, people are still worshiping her. See, that's the brilliance right there. You don't even know that you're worshiping an ancient pagan goddess when you're calling on St. Bridget.
Huh.
But yet,
Imbolc is the festival
there.
Of lights, and they gave her one of the most important. Imbolc is the festival that goddess Bridget is you know, honored at. And that's the festival of lights. Think about that. Lights.
Mm.
Light illuminates everything.
That's right.
It's powerful.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because to be honest with you, this is the first time I've heard that. And the festival of lights, the one that I know about, is the one that's done in India. And that's after the nine nights of the goddess, as a matter of fact. But tell me about
the festival
of lights.
Yeah, they might be crossing. Look at that. Pantheons might be crossing, okay? Imbolc is a Celtic traditional festival, and it kind of marks, like, the coming of spring. That's why it's, like, the Festival of Lights. It's normally held around, you know, the middle of February. And it's really, really big over in the Eastern European countries, like Ireland, Scotland, England, obviously, right? Scandinavia, you know, obviously.
Right.
And it has so much significance because, as what you said, it was originally a pagan festival associated with the goddess Brigitte. She is the goddess of fertility. She's the goddess that the Celts went to when they couldn't have a baby or when the crops wouldn't grow, you know. And she was Christianized. Like you said, she was canonized as a saint because the Catholics wouldn't let her go. And so at this Imbolc festival, we're honoring the time when Brigitte crosses were made. And then they have, you know, doll-like figures of her. And they just, it would just be, you know, like a big parade in the streets. And it was said that Brigitte was to visit you at your home in Imbolc. And so to receive her blessings at home, you would simply make a bed for her, make a little pallet for her, and leave her a little food and drink. Ooh, that sounds like fun, amazing, right? Make a little pallet for her and leave food and drink, okay? And then if you want, let's say, for instance, you had a locket or a trinket or maybe even an item of clothing that you wanted her to bless, you would leave it outside. And she would bless it. If you wanted her to protect your home or your livestock, then at that feast, at that festival, you would honor her and ask her for her blessing over your cattle and your. Oh yeah, it's serious.
Okay. Yeah, and it's, you know, it just goes back to what I was saying, that Shakti is a manifestation of all goddesses on this planet here. It's not just Hinduism. I mean, in Hinduism, or in India, rather, she is known as Shakti. That is her name. But in all honesty, she exists all over, right? I'd like to direct the conversation towards something that I found that was really interesting in Vanamali's book, and that is, so she's talking about the Shakta cult or Shaktiism, as it is, cult in India, and how they worship her as the divine mother. You know, she is really the creator of everything. And she says, Vanamali says, such mother worship has fascinated humankind through all time. Since the mother is one with whom everyone can have an intimate relationship. That's important. The mother is one with whom everyone can have an intimate relationship. She goes on to say, in fact, this is a primary relationship. The devotee has greater freedom when she conceives of God as a mother. I'll read that one more time. The devotee, the person who's, you know, worshiping the goddess, has greater freedom when she conceives of God as mother. And then she quotes a great sage named Ramakrishna, who said, just as a child can force his demands on his mother, so a devotee can force his demands on God as mother. I have an example of what that is in my life. Naki, you know that I lost my dad was last September, right? And he was sick for a long time. He had declining health for over about a decade or so. And within the past, I would say, year and a half before he, you know, passed on, it was very difficult because he was losing his faculties here and there, and it was just very difficult to watch this happen. You know, this is my father. This is someone I love. This is someone who I've known all of my life, and he's suffering, and it's difficult to watch that, right? My father stayed with us. My mom and I helped to take, and the caregiver helped to take care of him until we couldn't do it anymore, where he really had to be put into a facility. So you know how difficult that is to let someone go into the hands of someone else. And he was at a skilled nursing facility, and my mom and I were going to go visit. And this is a big facility, and I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but it's one of those facilities where you just don't have enough caregivers for each patient. So sometimes they would, you know, put him in the chair, get him up, put him in the chair, and just leave him in his room by himself, you know. And that's heart-wrenching. Like, wait a minute, what are you doing? We always have him involved in something. Or, you know, if we're watching television or if we're talking or something, you know, we have him involved in something. And they just kind of had him, you know, in his room. Sometimes you'll see that happen. It wasn't just my dad, but other patients as well in that nursing home. And so this one day when my mom and I decided to go and visit him, my mom had gotten out of the car and she was ready to go. And I said, Mom, I can't go in right now. I'm having a real difficult time and I need a moment. She said, oh, okay, don't worry about it. Take your moment. I'm going to go on in and see your dad and sit with him and whatnot. And, you know, you take your time. I was just so in pain. It was like someone had their hand on my heart, you know. They were like holding or crushing my heart, I'll put it that way. I was just, you know, it was, you know, visiting nursing homes is not always a very positive experience, especially if there's a large one and, you know, they don't take care of people. They do the basics, but that's about it, right? You know, to see other people there, when you walk through the door, they just light up because they're like, ooh, look, something new, you know. There's nothing else is going on. You know, it's just one of those situations. So to see my dad in that situation, to know that we could not take care of him at this point, you know, to have him in the house, it was just heart-wrenching. You know, the different smells that you have in a nursing home, it's, you know, that can be overwhelming, right? And they're not always good smells, too. And so I was, you know, I had tears in my eyes. I was just like, I can't go in this. I can't go in there. And I was looking up in the, you know, while I was still sitting in the car, I was looking into the sky and I was looking at this tree. And I was like, I can't, you know, I want to be there for my dad. I really do. But I'm having difficulty. I can't even get out of the car. And so I started chanting mantras. That's my thing. I love, you know, chanting mantras. And I was chanting one mantra. It didn't seem to alleviate anything. I was chanting another. It didn't alleviate anything. And I think these mantras were associated with God. And so then I decided to chant to my goddess. At that time, I was in a year-long program where one of the assignments that we had is that we had an archetype. What are called archetypes, right? That we connected with every day. And so mine was Sarasvati, the goddess of wisdom and art. And I was like, I got to do something because I want to go in, but I can't. Right? So I said, okay, Sarasvati. Sarasvati is my goddess in this program. Let me call on her. So I started chanting her mantra, I'm. And I was like, I'm. And the longer I chanted it, and it wasn't a long time. I didn't do 108 like the traditional kind of thing. But within, I would say, 2 to 3 minutes, I started to feel better. It's just whatever was holding my heart released itself. Goddess Sarasvati, or Shakti as Sarasvati, answered my call. Ooh. I was a baby in pain. You know how children are and they run around, they scrape their knee and they're crying, you know, they're just in a state, right? What does the mother do? She jumps up and what happened? Runs to the child and, oh, it's a little thing. Okay, I'll help you. Here, let me scoop you up and let me deal with your little cut and bruise and give you a hug. I'll kiss the bruise and everything. And that's exactly what it felt like. Kiss the boo-boo. Oh. But the boo-boo in my case was just all that fear and pain and sorrow just went away. It just released. And I was like a different person. I was like, okay, now I can go in. And this was like, I'm telling you, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, nothing more than that. I wasn't in deep meditation. I was just crying out through her mantra, just saying, Mom, come get me. I can't go in. I'm stuck. I'm really stuck. Every time I've done that, I always get a response within minutes, you know, minutes. So whenever you're in that kind of distress, call on the goddess, whatever name you give her. Sure, go ahead, please.
I have a story that's just like that, Shakti. I was going through a tough time in love back in 2015, and I was broken. I mean, and we were just learning. I had just About 3 years before that, I had just been reintroduced to Dr. Pillai and Dr. Pillai's teachings because I had met him, you know, in my own way. I had a personal encounter with him when he was going by the moniker Dr. Treya Shivababa, right?
Oh,
well, I didn't know that this was the same guy. Dr. Pillai is Dr. Treya Shivababa. I didn't know that at the time. So I was actually, you know, like watching videos about this one goddess who, to this day, I have deep affinity for her. Well, anyway, Goddess Lakshmi. And I don't even know, listen to this, Goddess Lakshmi is a goddess of prosperity and abundance. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if she was the right goddess to connect with. I just knew that I was hurting and in pain, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. I was really messed up. And I had found a beautiful melodic video on YouTube with her mantra. And I remember one night just being in despair, and I just played the video. And the singer's, Om Shri Mahalakshmi Namah. Oh, and in the background, you got the stringed instruments, and, you know, I could hear a little keyboard and, you know, maybe a little flute and Om Shri Mahalakshmi Namah. And then through my tears, I started to sing with the video. Om Shri. And I wasn't sounding as cute as I'm trying to sound now. Om Shri Mahalakshmi Namah. No, it wasn't cute back then. Okay? It was not cute. But it was from my heart because I was broken.
Yes.
And do you, every time, I said that mantra, I found a little bit of strength to sing that mantra. By the third day that I was singing that mantra, I had a strength that I didn't know, I don't even know where it came from. It just, over time, and again, the song is 6 minutes long, so I didn't do a you know, 12 hours of fasting and praying. Oh, no. I didn't do that. Well, I probably was fasting because I couldn't eat because my heart was broken. But it was that honest heart cry. That's what it was. And I know now that the mantra for love and relationships is cream. I know that now. I didn't know that then.
Yeah.
But I was but hear me, because I was pure in heart. I believe that Goddess Lakshmi heard my cries.
She sure did.
And she helped me out of that. Again, I don't know. Does Goddess Lakshmi rule clean? Who rules the clean mantra?
I think, well, Dr. Pillai says Parvati, which is Shiva's wife, and Krishna, Lord Krishna. Yeah.
Okay. See, I was calling, listen, technically, I was calling on the wrong goddess, people. Listen to me. But I made a heart connection with that goddess.
That's
and
right.
It was that goddess, not Parvati, not the one who owns clean, the mantra for relationships and love and attract. Not her, Lakshmi. And I was so, she was the one to pull me out of that funk, to heal my heart, to rescue me from the negative emotion that I was having. And, and I'll say that only to reiterate what you were saying, Shakti, the various forms of the goddess Shakti, because I was calling on the goddess, great goddess, with all my heart. Parvati might have been sipping on her coffee, and she just called. She just said, "Lakshmi, hey, go help that child."
She probably did.
She really should. Right? She really should be talking to me right now. But please help her. She's a mess. She's a hot mess. Okay, please help her. And that's what she did.
Yeah.
So the idea is to make, and I'm being funny and having jokes and fun, but the idea is that sincere call, that sincere connection. Yeah, that's the idea. Okay.
You know, it's not, I'm glad you told that story because I've had that happen one time where I was, you know, I do a lot of my meditation and chanting while I'm in the bed. Like I wake up at 4:30 something. It's still dark. Oh, this is like the best time, right before the sun rises.
Yeah.
It's still dark. That is such a powerful time to chant, to
Talk to
pray.
The goddess.
Yeah.
Manifest. Do your manifest activity. I'm telling you, it is like when you do it enough, you know it. Like once the sun comes up, it's great to, you know, you can still do your meditations and mantra, but the feeling is different, right? So anyway,
wow.
I'm on the bed and I was chanting something, and it was probably to a god. I think it was Tidu Nilakantam, which was to get rid of negative karma. That calls an aspect of Shiva who comes and destroys
mm-hmm.
negative karma, right? I'm like, Tidu Nilakantam, Tidu Nilakantam. All of a sudden, I get this vision of, I feel something. You know, now I've gotten to the point where I actually feel the energy of gods or goddesses that come to me. Like, it's almost like a heat on my right side sometimes. And so I'm lying down, chanting, and all of a sudden, I see Lakshmi kind of before me. And, you know, this is in my visualization. I wasn't really thinking of her. I'm just going down my, okay, I got to do my karma busting mantra kind of thing. And she was like, you know, hey, you know, you need to call on me more often. I mean, she just appeared. I'm like, I'm not even calling her. She's there, right?
Oh, wow.
She's like, we have to have a discussion. And then, you know, it was really interesting. So once I'd gotten up and showered and everything, I decided to look at what time period. So in the Vedic astrology system, which comes from India, every hour of the day is ruled by a particular god or goddess, right? And so when I looked at the time of when this happened, guess what? It was Venus Aura, which is Lakshmi's hour, and she disappeared.
Wow.
And I wasn't even aware of it. You know, it's still dark. And she just came to me. She said, hey, you need to call on me more often, and I have some ideas. And I was like, oh, and I'm still trying to chant the mantra in the beginning. I'm like, oh, okay, to the knee, look how that's up. No, wait a minute, stop. Let me stop and listen to what she has to say, because obviously she's, you know, she's telling me something I need to hear. So, you know, that happens, that, you know, once you start involving yourself in calling on the goddess, she will come to you, and not everybody feels things. They don't always hear. I'm a clairaudient person. I can sometimes feel like a heat, almost as if a hand is hovering over my arm or something like that. I have felt, you know.
Well, that's clairsentient, Shakti.
You're right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I have felt, and see, that is not a strong psychic skill of mine. It's getting stronger now. I've even felt a kiss on my cheek. It's really, but not. It's not physical, you guys. You know, just won't scare people out there. It's not physical. It's like an energy thing. It's almost like someone is hovering over your skin. You know, like a hand or something. So anyway, I wanted to also talk about, because we were talking about how, in our conversation before we started doing the show, is that when you close your eyes and you call on the goddess. Whether you're chanting a mantra, calling her name, or just call her name, that's a mantra too. If you are on your knees and you're crying out to the goddess, if you are holding your arms up like Naki was talking about in the last show with the sacred movement, you have your arms and your hands, palms up, and your head is back, you know, all of that is receiving the energy. You're calling on and you're also receiving the energy of the goddess. And Naki, you and I were talking about how falling to your knees and crying and praying is often seen in the Western world as a weakness. And I was talking about how that's not a weakness. That's actually strength. That's actually something very powerful that you're doing. Falling
That's
to
hard.
Your knees is not a weakness, because what you're doing is you're releasing, you're saying, there's something bigger than me. I know I can do more or do better, or I just need help. You're releasing your fears, your anxieties, or doubts, or whatever it is that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that is allowing the goddess to wake up within you. Remember, this is not, a goddess is not outside of you. I mean, goddess is in
That's
everything,
right.
Don't get me wrong. But she's also inside of you.
Yes.
So when you fall to your knees, or you prostrate in front of the goddess, or you put your hands in prayer mode and have your eyes closed and your head down, that's not weakness. That's invoking the goddess within you. And she will respond. She
it's
will
surrender,
respond.
Shakti. Mm-hmm.
It's surrender. That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know,
surrender.
In a Western world, surrender is a bad thing. It's like, oh, you're giving up and you're just being weak and blah, blah.
You're
it's not that.
You're a quitter. Quitter,
that's
quitter.
Right. You're right. That's exactly what they're saying. You're a punk. Get up. Get off your knees.
Oh, yeah.
You know. But it's really a state of power. And that's what I want people to understand. It is not weakness that you're doing that. The weakness, the weak part, if you really want to view it as weakness, it's letting go of that ego that you have, that you can do everything and that you have to do it all. It's all you. It's not that. You have a goddess energy that can do anything. She can manifest anything in your life. She can come rescue you from pain. She can bring that man or woman that you're looking for, the one that you truly deserve, into your life.
That's
she
right.
can manifest
That's
that job for you. She can rain down money like you ain't never seen it happen in your life. You know what I'm saying? That is the goddess, and that exists within each and every one of you. Like Maki said in the last show, we are drops of water in a vast ocean, and that ocean is the goddess. She has all the resources.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I'm like having chills over here. I'm going to start preaching and praying.
The doors of the church.
Yes. Come to the goddess. Kneel. Prostrate yourself. I'm just kidding. All right. Having a good time.
Oh,
this is one of the best shows.
Yeah, we are.
And believe it or not, everybody, we talk like this on our conversations all the time. It's so much fun and so much power and fun. It's interesting. Once you really get to know who the goddess is, it's just, it's a wonder. It's a delight. It's an awesome experience, right?
It sure is. It's an experience that is secondary to none, and it's one that'll never really end, Rose. I don't think you could ever comprehensively know enough about great goddess. Because as you learn more and more and more about the great goddess, you learn more and more about yourself. And then that opens you up to learn and understand human behavior a little bit more and why people do the things that they do, and just really piecing these puzzles of life together and saying, okay, well, then this is why she feels that. And it will actually open your eyes to a level of compassion that you never even knew. You never even fathomed that you could move or flow in. And I think that's the whole notion of connecting to the goddess in the first place. We should not be the same.
That's
after
right.
We
Absolutely.
Connected. We can't. We cannot be the same.
Mm-mm.
You could always tell somebody who was fully actualized in his or her power.
Mm-hmm.
You could always tell, because it's very rare that they get come out of the bag. Meaning, it's very rare that they're, you know, emotionally wavering.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that they, you know, are hostile or cruel or rude. Their emotions are pretty even. They have a very pleasant demeanor. You can always tell somebody who is completely actualized in that power. And you can bet your bottom dollar that that is somebody who is actualized the goddess presence in his or her life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take a lot, Maki. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, there are different, listen, there are many paths out there, and all paths lead to the same direction, to goddess, right?
That's right.
Understand that a lot of times people are, especially those of us in the Western world who are enchanted with the practices, the spiritual practices out of India, and they're wonderful practices. And the one thing, you were talking about Dr. Pillai, the one thing I love about him is that he is not into, you know, okay, you guys need to meditate for the next 8 hours, and you'll do that for 80 days, and he's not that kind of guru, you know. He's like, no, you can have things happen a lot sooner. You can make that connection. All it does is just take that leap of faith. You know, you can, I tell people this all the time. So a lot of people will say, well, you know, traditionally when you're chanting a mantra, a Sanskrit mantra, you need to do it 108 times a day, and every day for 40 some odd days, right? Maybe longer.
And
it's like, well, yeah, you can do it that way, but, or you could just chant the mantra 9 times each day. The whole point is that you're invoking the goddess within you. Okay. Hold on for a second.
Yes.
excuse me, I had a big cough. All right. The whole point is that you are daily invoking the goddess within you. That's why you chant your mantra. That's why you do your prayer. That's why you prostrate yourself. When you invite her in every day, you will notice changes in your life. You will notice that some of the things that used to bother you a lot no longer bother you, you know, not as much. Or maybe you had, I have a good example where I had crying bouts for like, you know, during that special time of the year. Not of the year, but
oh,
of
yeah.
the month,
your
right?
Your goddess time.
Like, oh, my God. Boy, that's a rough, it can be a rough time because a lot of it is also purging. You're getting rid of a lot of, you know, old stuff. You know, biologically or physiologically you're doing that, but also emotionally. Mm-hmm. That's why women tend to be very emotional during that time because all these things that have been bothering us, you know, our feelings are raw during that time. It's like, what?
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
any little thing can set us off. But anyway, I used to have like a 3.5 hour crying bout, you know, just in tears. And then when I started invoking the divine within my life every day, it became less. So 1 month is 3.5. Next month it's 1.5. Next month I stopped. You know, doesn't mean that from time to time I get emotional or whatnot, but I'm not doing it like, whoa, my life sucks. Ah! You know, I'm not in that state. If I have a crying bout, it's going to be pretty short. It's not even an hour. Can you imagine crying for 3.5 hours? That's a long time. Being
yeah,
tears and feeling
absolutely.
Sad and mm-hmm. helpless and things of that nature. So, you know, they make you stronger. And all you have to do is to call her into your life. Whatever aspect of Shakti that you're interested in, from whatever culture, be it ancient, be it present, or futuristic. Maybe it's Wonder Woman, I don't know. But whatever, however you depict your goddess, you know, whatever name she goes by, call on her and call on her every day. Talk to her as if she's a real person. You know, she may not be standing in front of you like, you know, like another human being, but she is there. She is there. She exists
Absolutely.
On a different plane, but she's there. And all you have to do is just talk to her. I've done that plenty of times. I don't, you know, sometimes I forget to chant mantras or whatnot, but I look at an image of the goddess every day. I have this big, remember I showed you, Nike, when you were here at my home, the big
yes.
cloth of Lakshmi. I can't help
mm-hmm.
but to see her every day. Oh, that's another good thing, you guys. If you are able to put a picture of the goddess up in your room somewhere or even on your cell phone, something that you look at a lot, I'm telling you, even that alone, just having that imagery is wonderful because it reminds you. I love working in my bedroom because I have images of, you know, the goddess and other archetypes in my room. And even if I'm feeling upset or even if I'm feeling lost, all I have to do is look at Lakshmi on my wall and like, you know, I'm okay. It's good. You know, it's like a reminder. We have
That's
to have
right.
reminders, right? You can have visual
wow.
reminders. Just talk to her. Cry to her. It's okay to cry and just say, Mama, help me. Help
mm-hmm.
me. Cry.
That's
right. Let that go. You're not too much of a man. You know, don't worry about your manliness. Let all that go. That's just nonsense. Cry. Go to the mother. Go to the goddess for what you want. So
That's right.
I wanted
to
That's right. Well, we're having a really good, this is a great conversation. Okay. So I wanted to also talk about, I love this part of Vanamali's book. So this is pulling out of Shakti, Realm of the Divine
okay.
Mother. And talking about, I'll read this section to you, try to make it interesting so it doesn't sound boring. But she says, goddess worship is said to have begun in ages long past among the ancient hunter-gatherer tribes of prehistoric India. Archaeologists have unearthed goddess figures in the earliest strata of Indian settlements. Goddess worship kept on growing and growing until today it is a full-fledged sect with adherents among all the cults that exist in India. The goddess might have begun as a simple divinity of one universal goddess representing the earth deity, but she has slowly assumed different forms and different names until at last we have a whole pantheon of female goddesses with different functions. But we must understand that all of them are merely powers of the universal Shakti.
Wow.
I love that part. We were talking about how, you know, the one thing that I always wanted to find out about was, what is it? You and I have an affinity for the Kemetic gods, right, and goddesses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I do some research, you know, reading on ancient Egypt and things of that nature. And one of the interesting things about that is that I always wanted to find out, well, what happened before you had the development of, like, the Old Kingdom, before the government part of the Kemet was established? Who were the people before then? You know, because we only know about, okay, the Old Kingdom started, I don't know, how many thousands of years ago before Christ, and then it kind of goes on from there, Old Kingdom, Middle Kingdom, and whatnot. But who were the people before that? And I was looking at pre-dynastic people of ancient Egypt. That's the search that you have to do. And what I found, and I'm still researching this out, so I don't have all the information, but what they said is that they were goddess worshippers.
Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked about that in our show.
We sure did.
We talked about that. Remember,
that's right.
Goddess worship goes back eons.
It goes back, yeah.
It goes back for a very long time. And even before the ancient Sumerians and the ancient Kemetics.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We could go back to, you know, those really ancient civilizations like Atlantis and Lemuria, if you want to go there.
That's right. That's right.
Right? Okay.
That's right. Remember, the goddess precedes us all. She precedes the creation of our solar system. I mean, and that's hard to fathom, right? Because we're all living on the planet, so our orientation
is
basically Earth, right? But, she goes back a long ways. And it is sad that we've lost connection or understanding or even knowledge of what many of the ancient cultures, even ancient beyond ancient cultures, and how much they were goddess worshippers. You know, the earth is a goddess, or the land.
Mother
Gaia.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You plant a seed in her and you take care of it, and something grows from that, you know.
Right.
And this depiction is all over in nature. I mean, a lot of times people think, you know, the pre-modern people, they're a bunch of ignorant fools running around and they didn't know anything. They were just doing whatever was passed down to them. It's like, no. You have to understand that there's an intelligence in everything, and that the intelligence is definitely in nature. People, human beings, have been around a long time, and they studied. Now, it wasn't necessarily Western science, but they saw nature. They knew how things were created. They could see, okay, this animal is, you know, having sex with that animal. I mean, the same animal. The male is having sex with the female. And then next you know, a baby pops out sometime later, you know. I mean, they see all these things. You know, they even experimented and things of that nature in terms of, you know, growing things and whatnot. The goddess is in all of that, the intelligence. And think about it this way. Even if you were to think of the pre-modern people as being ignorant, the very fact that they were able to survive is a miracle, right? Because there's so many, you would have to be in contact with nature on some level in order to survive. Just the basic ability to be able to not be, you know, mauled by a bigger prey out there, to be able to create fire, to be able to feed yourself and hunt or grow plants and vegetables and fruit and things of that nature. That's an intelligence that was taught by the goddess to all of us. That's where that comes from.
Absolutely.
So even if you were ignorant, and there, you know, we're not saying all of ancient cultures were knowledgeable. Some of them may not have been. But if they were in tune and knew how to connect with, especially those who traveled to a completely different region, different foliage, different flora and fauna and things of that nature, you have to figure out how do you survive, you know? So the goddess gave them that intelligence because they tuned into it. They observed, they watched, they meditated. They got, answers in some way from the goddess to help them, you know? The goddess taught that. That's my opinion, you know. That's my opinion. I don't know what y'all think. But
I agree. Totally agree.
So anyway, the whole point of go ahead, hon.
Well, I was just gonna say, it certainly puts patriarchy in its perspective, right? Because
right.
you only hide something, you only conceal something if you know it's great. Right?
That's right.
You only conceal something or hold something back from the masses if you know that something is great.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah.
And wasn't it that I said, you know, this is Dr. Pillai's words, and he was talking about how without the goddess, the god cannot complete his task, especially when he's unable to complete his task. It is the goddess
right.
who steps in. When they have
right.
a, here's a great example. They call her Chamundi or Durga is another example. There was something that was going on in heaven or this other realm where basically the gods were being overrun by a particular demon. He was given a power that he used to dominate the gods. These are the good gods, right? And they were upset. They were like, yo, what's going on? You know, they tried to fight him. They couldn't fight him. They weren't able to defeat him. So they put all of their weapons together. About 8 of them put their weapons together, and guess who sprang up? It was Durga or Chamundi. She is the Hindu goddess who rides a tiger or a lion, and she has 8 arms and usually 8 weapons in each arm or each hand and things of that nature, and she was able to defeat them. The goddess. See, when the gods can't perform, the goddess pulls through. That's
oh, yes.
She is the power. She is the Shakti. That was the when I first started talking about this, Shakti means power, and it means divine energy.
Yes.
All gods have to have Shakti. It just Shakti
mm-hmm.
exists in everything. So without that, we are nothing. So I'd like
Let me
to
tell
end,
you the story.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, honey.
I just wanted to tell you the story of Shakti, a story of Shakti power from the Yoruba tradition, the Ifa
tradition.
Oh, please,
yes. That's right.
Well, excuse me, the story goes, the boys, the gods, so you have
mm-hmm.
Shango, who was the handsome, proud king warrior, a little bit of a ladies' man, a little bit of a player, right? You have Ogun,
right.
who, right? I mean, just be truthful. I'm just modernizing it. Then you have Ogun. He's the soldier, the god of war, the one who is also a fierce blacksmith, iron, metal, technology, intelligence, right? Then
mm-hmm.
you have Ogun. Then you have Osushi, who's the hunter. No, if you Osushi can't catch it can't be caught, right? So this is the great hunter. And then you have
right.
the diviner, Arumala. He was the great
mm-hmm.
oracle. Okay, so all these guys were sitting around one day chewing the fat, and Oshun comes in, and Oshun, in this story, is Shakti. She is representative of the Great Mother, even though Oshun is the baby of the seven powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
She comes in, and Oshun was very beautiful, the story goes. She's very beautiful, fully embodied in her feminine power, fully embodied in her ability to have her milkshake bring all the boys to the yard, right?
I'm saying
right.
like that, okay? She sure does, though. You ain't lying. You ain't lying.
Okay? So they kept having meetings, okay? They kept making decisions and you know, deciding and changing things without Oshun's permission, without even having a dialogue with her, right? Now, this is significant, because if you understand anything about Oshun, she's the great mother in the story. So she reigns fertility, childbirth, rivers and streams, abundance, your money, right? Your crops.
Right.
Right? Because if she dries up the water, what are your crops going to look like, right? Okay?
That's right.
So all of that, she makes life sweet. Okay? Let's just put it like that. Oshun makes life sweet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So with that in mind, boys kept meeting, changing things, not including her, really just completely disregarding her because at patriarchy, right, they decided, we don't really need no serum, let's just play it neat. So she takes off, and she goes and sits on the moon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the boys don't know where she is, right? So they're like, okay, after a couple of weeks, because it's cool at first, right? They were disregarding
mm-hmm,
her
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
After a couple of weeks, it started getting a little dry. Stuff started dying. The creeks in the water supply dried up, right? All
mm-hmm.
the things that Oshun was responsible for making easier for them, she took that away when she left and went to the moon.
Mm.
So Ogun and Shango, they say, they go to Arumala and say, hey, man, come here. We messed up. Where's Oshun? And Arumala, remember, he's the great oracle. He said, she left. And they were like, okay, we'll call her. Tell her to come back. We need her. He said, I'm not the one that offended her. And they were like, what? What did we do? What did we say? You disregarded her.
Mm.
You did not honor the Divine Mother. You did not honor her. And she decided to show you what life is without her.
Mm. That's right.
So Shango was like, listen, what do we need to do? Can you call her? Can you go get her? He's like, I'll take you to her. So Arumala calls Eshu, and she was the gatekeeper. He's the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they call Eshu, and they say, Eshu, we need to get in touch with Oshun. Will you ask her if Shango and Ogun can talk to her? And by the way, Oshun ends up marrying Ogun and Shango later on down the line. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. They come to her on the moon, and she's there eating her pumpkin seeds and sipping her tea with honey.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Oshun, what are you doing here? And she's like, what do you mean? And basically, they're like, can you come back? We need your help. Like, we have no water.
Mm-hmm.
We have no crops. She said, exactly. You disregarded me.
Mm-hmm.
You acted as if I wasn't there, so I'm going to show you what life is like without me being there.
Mm-hmm.
And Shango and Ogun immediately said, okay, we're sorry. Come back. We didn't mean it. We are so sorry. Okay, we need you. We need the great mother. And the moral of this story is nothing gets accomplished without the Divine Mother. Nothing.
Mm. Wow. That's powerful.
Right?
That is so
right.
powerful, Nike. You know, that, and this brings, I think we're coming to a full hour now. And so,
oh, wow.
We wanna, I know, that went by quick.
It went by so fast.
So I'd like to end on that note, on that wonderful story about Oshun and without the mother and how things will dry up. I'd love to read this little passage from Vanamali's book, Shakti, Realm of the Divine Mother. She says, it is only natural to think of the divine as the cosmic mother who loves all, nourishes all, cares for all, and protects all. Shakti is the divine mother, the eternal womb of all creatures, human and animal. She cradles her children in her loving arms, suckles them, and nurtures them with her infinite love in all forms. Wherever you see maternal love in a bird or an animal or a human being, know that to be but an aspect of Shakti's love for the universe, for she is the universal mother. And that's all we have time for today, everyone. Thank you so much
for
tuning in and listening to the show. What a wonderful conversation we have had. Boy, that's just me excited about our next show. So, everyone, be sure to tune in next time for Goddess Guidance Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8
p.m.
Eastern. And I think it's 1 a.m. London. time.
Okay.
So,
1 a.m. London.
Yeah. I believe that's right. If I'm wrong, I apologize. It is 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern for sure. Tune in next time. Everyone have a goddess-filled week. Remember to call on the goddess. Call on her every day, and you will
always
see your life change.
Now,
yes. Did you want to have an ending greeting or something? Not a greeting.
Oh,
but
I just want to, just a blessing. God is blessing for your entire week. Great show. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you same time, same place next week. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.